Hi guys, Sam Fury here with another episode of the Survival Fitness Plan, the only program where you will train yourself to outrun, outfight, and outlive the majority of the world's population. I apologize in advance for the noise. I'm living in a noisy place at the moment. I don't have a soundproof room. I never do. But one day, soon hopefully, over the next couple of months, I will have something where I can maybe try to record stuff a bit more professionally for a change. That's not a guarantee, because it might not happen, but we'll try. All right, today's episode is about training for the unexpected. So it's about how to transfer your skills that you learn in the Survival Fitness Plan into real life, right? Because although there is some instinctive crossover, like once you train, once you've practiced your skills enough, like the muscle memory, kind of like in self-defense, if you practice martial arts for years and years and years, when someone throws a punch at you, you'll instinctively block it and stuff like that. There is some of that, but that takes a while, right? But then there's also some things that I'll go over today that you can speed up the process, or maybe some things that you wouldn't normally think about, all right? So first is awareness, right? Whenever you go somewhere, you should always be consciously aware. Like if when you're on the street, like don't just mindlessly look at your phone all the time. When you enter a new place, always look for escape routes. I once heard this thing about a ninja, right, would go into any room and automatically like immediately be able to figure out 10 ways to kill someone. Now, I don't mean you to be able to figure out 10 ways to kill someone, but definitely what you could use to defend yourself, right, in any room. And if you follow the Survival Fitness Plan and you learn weaponry in the Survival Fitness Plan, you learn how to use anything as a weapon. So as long as there's 10 objects, then you'll be able to do it, right? But more importantly, the escape routes in case of fire or an attacker comes in or something like that. Another thing to point out is when you go into a restaurant or whatever, you should always take a seat with your back to the wall if you want to get like real serious. I don't do this all the time, obviously, but if I thought I was, you know, in a threatening situation, you'd want to take a seat with your back to the wall so no one can creep up behind you, and preferably looking at the door so you can see who comes in and out, right? Same with an aeroplane. The best seat to be in is the aisle seat, so if something happens, you're not stuck, right? Like, I mean, if the plane's going to crash, you're not really going anywhere anyway, but if there's like a terrorist attack or something, like you're in the best position to take action when you're in the aisle seat, right? All right, so look for escape routes and other sort of things. And also just being aware, just looking aware consciously. If there are, would be attackers on the street or whatever, just the fact that you look like you're aware makes you less of a target, right? Because if you think about it, if you were an attacker or you were someone wanting to rob someone, are you going to try to rob the person that looks very aware and is possibly going to more likely to see you? Or even if it's like a pickpocket, right? A non-violent attack, a non-violent theft, they're more likely to see you or to notice you, right? Or are you going to pick the person that's like looking at their phone all the time or just not aware of their surroundings, right? Of course, you're going to pick the person that's less aware. All right, number two. Train in different terrains, right? Different weather, different light. In the Survival Fitness Plan, we do a lot of outdoors training, right? You want to do sprints, you're not going to be able to sprint inside your house. You don't have enough room. You got to go outside. You're going to train in parkour. I suppose you could do some stuff inside, but you want to train outside, right? The only thing that you can really easily train inside is like strength training, I guess, even though it's better to do it outside, like where you can get someone to do pull-ups, right? You can put a pull-up bar in your house, I guess, but it's much better to get out, and you can use those free gyms that they've got all around the place, all around the world now. Actually, I see them all around the world, where it's just like a little setup, and they've got like they're called outdoor gyms or whatever, and it's just permanently in there. Or even make one out in the back of your house if you've got the resources for that. I want to do that eventually. Just put like a chin-up bar there. That's all you really need. And then yeah, so you do a lot of stuff outside, but especially when doing things like parkour and self-defense when you're sparring. You want to train in different weather, terrain, with different light, right, on different surfaces, so you get a good idea of what it's like. Because if you get attacked on the street and you have to run away or you have to fight, it's not going to be a clear sunny day all the time, right? Like it's probably, most likely it's going to be at night for starters, and then it might be raining or whatever, right? So just on that as well, just be cautious, especially for parkour, of slippery surfaces and when it's raining and that. There's a good tip where if something is too dangerous to do while you're training, so if you assess it while you're training, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to do a precision jump onto that, I might slip and fall, right? Then that gives you a good idea, because then it's too dangerous to do in real life as well. You definitely don't want to slip and fall if you're running away from someone in real life, because you don't have time to recover, right? If you slip and fall during training, you get injured or whatever, but I mean, you're not in terrible danger unless you're going to fall for ages, which hopefully you're not training on anything too dangerous, right? But if you slip and fall, even if you're just running on a wet surface and you actually don't slip and fall, like, you can get up and keep going, or you can recover, right? You got time. But if you're getting chased and you like try to do a precision jump or a vault and you slip and fall and like, and you hurt yourself and then you can't run anymore, well, then you're in trouble, right? So if it's too dangerous to do during training, then it's also too dangerous to do in real life. So assessing, going out and training in different terrains and different weather environments and all that sort of stuff, it's also a good way to assess, so you know prehand, if you get into a dangerous situation in real life, you have to run or fight, the things that you can and cannot do, right? I hope that makes sense. Okay, the next thing, train on both sides of your body, right? So in a real life situation, you always want to use your strong side, right? You always want to play to your strengths, but you also want to be able to do it on the opposite, just in case, I don't know, you get injury, right, on one side. While, like, you might be in a fight in real life, and let's say you're right-handed, and that's your lead, right? We're not boxers, we're self-defense. So you use your strong side forward, and that's what you usually do, right? And you would. But I would train on both sides, because what happens if you go to hit the guy and you accidentally hit him in the forehead and hurt your knuckles, right? Or break your hand or whatever, and then you've only got your left hand left. So if you don't know how to fight with it, you won't be able to effectively, right? So you want to train on both sides. But in real life, always put your strong foot forward, right? And that's, put your strong foot forward is like literally in self-defense, but also figuratively in everything else. Like in parkour, the way it translates is that there's a bunch of different vaults that you're going to learn in the survival fitness plan, right? If you haven't already. And so you train all of them, you practice all of them, but whichever one you're most comfortable with, that's the one you're going to use most of the time, right? You might just want to hurdle over stuff, right? Or not try to vault, but you should still practice it just in case, right? Let's say, and also the other thing is different vaults are better for different types of things that you need to get over. But anyway, that's the main point of that. All right, next, what you carry with you, right? So if you habitually go to work or wherever with a backpack on, then you should train with a backpack on, right? And because if you get attacked, unless you're willing to drop, like, let's say it's a backpack with your laptop, low supply. When I carry a backpack around when I'm traveling, it's got my laptop, and I don't want to get rid of that, right? I'd rather try, if I have to, I would, obviously, if it means my life. But I'd rather try to run with it so I don't lose, because my laptop's got, like, it's my work, it's everything, right? Like, it's replaceable for sure, but it's just a hassle. So if I'm going to run anyway, right? Obviously, if I'm getting attacked at gunpoint, I'm just going to give him the laptop, right? But I mean, you know what I mean? So if you have to run or whatever with your bag on, then you need to train for that, because weight distribution's different, movements feel different, exact, and all sorts of stuff, right? If you work, I don't know, let's say you're a gardener or whatever, and you carry around a rake all the time, and learn to fight with the rake, right? Because you're more likely to have it. There's no point learning to fight with, I mean, there is a point to do it, but to learn to fight with different things. Sorry, it's dogs barking. I mean, you should learn to fight with all the different types of, the five different types of improvised weapons, right? But concentrate more on the things that you're most likely to use. So if you carry a rake around all the time, then why are you training to fight with a knife, right? Because you're going to use a rake more often. Still trying to fight with knife type objects, but favor what you're going to carry. Or on the flip side of that, not on the flip side, but also to that, let's say you do carry a rake around all the time, just go back to that example, and that's a staff weapon, right? So you can practice with a staff, like a long stick, or why wouldn't you just practice with your rake? Because it's going to feel different, right? So you get better using it if you know that that's what you're going to be carrying. Same thing with, like, let's say you carry a briefcase to work every day. That's a shield weapon, right? So why are you if you're going to practice a shield, use your briefcase because it's your briefcase. That's what you're going to be using. Stuff like that, right? All right, and on the same line of that, what about what you wear, right? Training in clothing that's impractical for physical exercise will actually, like, it's not good not to do it all the time, because you're going to hinder your process because you won't be able to full range of motion or whatever, and you might get injured. But you should do it at least once in a while so you know what it feels like. So if you wear a pencil skirt to work every day, are you able to fight in that? It's a lot different than wearing like running shorts and then trying to run away. You know what I mean? Like, it's harder to run in heels than it is to run in sneakers. It's, or dress shoes if you're a guy. Like, it's just, things feel different. So you got two choices. You can learn to fight, run, whatever, in the clothes that you wear most of the time, like your everyday clothes, like your work clothes or whatever, or you can change what you wear. And that's what I do. Like, I just don't wear uncomfortable tight fitting stuff. I mean, not that tight fitting is necessarily uncomfortable for everyone, it's definitely uncomfortable for me, but I wear clothes that give me good range of motion and shoes that give me good grip, right? That's what I wear because I know that's how I perform the best. But I understand that not everyone can do that. Maybe you have a dress code at work or whatever. So train with that you can, or do the best that you can, right? You might have to wear black shoes to work. Doesn't mean you have to wear like your I don't know what type of dress shoes. Doesn't mean you have to wear dress shoes, right? Maybe you can get away with just like a black pair of sneakers, right? I know that in kitchens you can get away, like, it's just any black shoes. Now, let's say you've got a very lax right thing and you go to work in Crocs, but do you want to fight and run in Crocs? No, so wear sneakers or wear boots or whatever, all right? So, yeah, they're your choices. And change what you, yeah. All right, that is basically it for today, guys. I hope that's given you some good ideas about your training and how to train and how to adapt your survival fitness plan training to real life. All this information and more is in the special report, Training for the Unexpected, right? And you get that free as a bonus, as one of, like, I think there's like 9 bonuses or 6 or 6 or 7 bonuses. That's just one of the free ones you get for when you join the Survival Fitness Plan Challenge. And the challenge, in fact, as I say this, it changes all the time. So if you listen to this, go grab it now, because it's only $1 for 28 days of training, and it includes 1 month free to the Survival Fitness Plan training program, and over $1,100 worth of bonuses, right? So go to survivalfitnessplan.com/challenge, and then also, like, subscribe and share this wherever you're watching this, on YouTube or your podcast or whatever. Give us a rating and a review, and I'll see you again next time. Bye.